With Daryl Morey in Philadelphia, are the 76ers going after James Harden?
Shocker. And the NBA is looking to do whatever it can to make money next season.
Plus, the league just should throw everyone into the playoffs, but we might not get that. We'll just get the expanded format with a play-in tournament. It's the Wednesday edition of Locked On NBA. Let's do this.
You are Locked On NBA, your daily NBA podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Welcome to the Wednesday edition of Locked On NBA, the daily podcast. No paywall, just 5 days of basketball talk, Monday through Friday, here on the Locked On Podcast Network, covering everything you want to know about the association. On Wednesdays, I'm your co-host, Jake Madison, at Nola Jake on Twitter, and the host of the Locked On Pelicans podcast.
And I'm John Corrales, at Reds Army underscore John on Twitter, and I host the Locked On Celtics podcast.
I am happy to be on the show with you today because we are going to get some jokes off, I think, in this episode.
I think so. Always that there are a few easy targets, and Tillman Fertitta is one of the easiest ones in the NBA.
It's like, look, we shouldn't get any credit for actually being funny because it's pretty low-hanging fruit here. But speaking of jokes, Houston Rockets, right?
Right. Broke boy owner. Hashtag broke boy.
The rumor is now that Daryl Morey is in Philadelphia. He is reportedly, and this comes from Shams of the Athletic and Stadium, so it's not like an irreputable person here, that they were interested in bringing in James Harden to the 76ers. Newsflash for you, everybody. Yeah. Every team is interested in bringing James Harden into their team, particularly for second round picks and their crappy basketball players that they have.
I will give you nothing. Will you give me an MVP candidate, please?
Please.
Shockingly, Houston is at a hard no on that offer. But I actually think that Daryl Morey can pull it off. I don't think it's going to happen during this offseason. But I'm telling you, I think the odds are better that he makes this deal with Houston before the trade deadline. I'm putting it at better than 50-50 that he makes this deal by the trade deadline.
So you're at least 51%.
Yes.
Harden is on the 76ers at some point this season.
Yes. Okay. Yes. I'll tell you
what. I just want to lay it bare right there.
You just lay it right down there. What do you want to put? $5 American.
Yeah, noted, sir.
Okay. 51%. This is like Jimmy the Greek, the Simpsons did. Hey, when you're right 51% of the time, you're wrong 49% of the time. So here's why. Here's why I think he can pull it off. One, he has a very intimate knowledge of exactly the depth of financial issues that are hitting Tillman Fertitta, who could not afford to buy the Houston Rockets. He actually had to borrow money from the guy who was selling the team so he could buy the team. His business is hospitality and casinos, which has already been devastated. And now we're heading into the second wave of COVID, which means December, January, February, lockdowns all around the country. I've already seen it in Massachusetts. Curfews are not being imposed. Businesses have to shut down by 9:30. We can't go to restaurants. We can't, everything's starting to kind of close in a little bit. So a lot of these hospitality things that Tillman Fertitta is making his money off of are going to be hit even harder by COVID as this season progresses. And Daryl Morey sitting there with that depth of knowledge of both the owner and his problems can now knows exactly which buttons to push. And I'm betting that Philly is going to throw as much cash as they possibly can, which I think is up to $5 million.
Yep.
I think
it's like 5.2, 5.4, something like that.
So cash will be a heavy part of this deal, and Tillman Fertitta needs the cash, and whatever he needs to do, as far as players, he'll figure it out whether he needs to make subsequent deals. But I think Morey will swing for the fences. I think he knows what he needs to do. I think he knows how hard it's going to be. I think he understands that how badly Fertitta is hurting. So I think that's what's fueling my confidence that he can get this done.
If there is one executive in the league who could swing a trade like this and completely change like two rosters, it's Morey, right? Like, this is kind of what he does and what he's done with the Houston Rockets his whole time there. So in terms of that, I wouldn't put it past him. I wonder how much pride is on the line here in Houston on a deal like this and on principle do you have to say no and not trade your star player to your former GM, whatever the titles are, top basketball decision maker,
sure,
to not look nearly as bad as it would look? And look, if that happens and they trade Harden there, and if the return for Harden isn't particularly great, and it will be good, you would assume one of Simmons or Embiid would be going back to Houston in a deal like that. You think we got jokes coming later and here to make fun of Fertitta or Fertitta? Like, it's going to be even worse.
Yeah. I also think, though, that he, Fertitta.
I honestly, this is how little I care about that dude, that I have no idea what it is.
I know. I think that if you want to put this face on things and you don't want to take the best deal that's available, then okay, fine. But if you want to do the right thing, a lot of this depends on, first of all, James Harden.
Yeah, 100%.
If you look at his offseason, he saw his coach leave. He saw his GM leave. He saw the two guys, and this is in the Mark Stein newsletter from the New York Times.
I was about to say, everyone should subscribe to that, by the way. It's pretty great.
Yes. Ty Lue and John Lucas were Harden's top two guys to take over that job, and he didn't, and neither of those guys did. Now Silas got the job and he's very highly regarded, so that may not be an issue. But this whole keeping Harden happy, and if Harden's not happy and the Rockets are struggling for money and there's no people in the seats and Fertitta's businesses are hurting, you might as well take the axe to this whole thing now and get the best possible deal that you can. And Ben Simmons is at least under contract for the next 4 or 5 years. So you've got a young guy that you can build around that is a former All-Star. Maybe he doesn't work necessarily in Philly, but if you get a Simmons-centered deal, you're getting probably the best player that you're going to get from
you're
a lot
not going to get
teams.
Better than that. Right? You won't. It's 100%. That alone should make you to pull the trigger on the trade. You're not going to get a better player than that.
So you throw a few pick swaps in there, whatever other players you need you put in there. I don't know. You can't do a multiplayer with Tobias Harris or Al Horford. That gets too untenable, I think.
It's also impossible to try and predict like that stuff too.
Unless you find a way to swing an in-season deal if Chris Paul doesn't get traded, where there's a three-team deal where Simmons goes to Houston, Horford or Tobias Harris goes to OKC, probably Harris, I'd say.
So why would OKC do that, though?
Why would they do that?
To rebuild and they kind of have a cheapness about them too, why would they take on Horford's money?
Not Horford. I said Harris because he's probably
gotcha.
I said Harris because he's younger. I said Horford first, but I think Harris because he's younger and he's a guy that might maybe
no, it's
can.
It's just a question. I look at that and I'm like, I don't think they want to take on long-term money. So I think it kind of
maybe not. A little maybe bit not. There. It's a thought that just popped into my head.
No,
thoughts
it's okay.
That popped into my head are not always great. But
I've hung out with you in New Orleans, can confirm.
That is an entirely different podcast. I think a Philly deal can be the best player that Houston can get in return. They send James Harden to the other conference, and you can always sweeten the deal with pick swaps or whatever. And if a third team wants to get involved, you can try and find a third team to throw something else in there. I think that it's not impossible. I'm sure Houston's going to try to stick to their guns now, and they should try to see, you know, if they can still be good. But if Harden's not happy and the team's not playing well and it's not working with a new coach and whatever mix of players they have isn't quite right, then off to Philly you go and Morey gets his guy.
I kind of when you lay it out like that, if a trade is going to happen with Harden, it's probably to Philadelphia. It kind of makes you feel that way right now. So there you go. And it also feels like that Rockets team just does need to do, I don't know, something. Like they feel a little rudderless or look like they've lost their way to some degree with all the change they've had this offseason. And if Harden's unhappy there, that's just kind of the death knell for them, I think. But we'll see. This will be fun. Let's get silly with things in the NBA, which we're going to do coming up here over the next two segments too. Weird with money, weird with playoff seeds and all of that. Let's just
weird with everything, baby.
Weird with everything in the Wednesday edition of Lockdown NBA. So all of that and more to come on today's show. Before we get to all of that, though, today's show is brought to you by Built Bar. It's simple. Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar ever. I eat one of these things daily after my workout, basically as a meal replacement for lunch. And it's so good, I actually enjoy it. I don't think I've ever enjoyed eating a protein bar before one of these things. You just ate a protein bar because you want the protein in it, low in calories, all of that stuff. These actually taste delicious, and I enjoy it. You're going to think you're eating a candy bar. I've never had anything like it. They're soft. They're easy to chew. They're covered in 100% real chocolate, and they come in delicious flavors. Caramel brownie, cookies and cream, lemon almond cheesecake. John loves the peanut butter.
Peanut butter, baby.
The toffee almond is like an almond joy, basically. You're going to have no idea that you're eating a protein bar. These things are low calorie, low sugar, high in protein, high in fiber. They have some that have 19 grams of protein and 180 calories or 17 grams of protein and just 130 calories. You're not going to have killed all that cardio that you just did by eating one of these things. So if you want to try them, or if you've bought Built Bar with the Lockdown promo code before, they've reset it so you get to double dip and get back in on this. So go to builtbar.com and use promo code Locked On, and you're going to get 20% off your next order. That's promo code Locked On for 20% off over at builtbar.com. Don't forget, subscribe to Locked On NBA wherever you get your podcasts, here Monday through Friday for you all. No paywall, nothing you need to subscribe to or pay for, at least. Just basketball talk 5 days a week here, covering all the big stories around the league. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. So the NBA is struggling to kind of make up the revenue gap from last season and potential damage to this coming season with a later start and a potential start date in December or January. So the league, feeling a little desperate, sounds like they might just start that branding machine, that marketing arm, getting real fired up here and throw their names on everything, and also maybe institute some more sports betting into the league. I love all of this.
Oh yeah, man. This is ripe for all sorts of fun. Are you a fan of Always Sunny in Philadelphia?
I am. Oh, are we going to throw like the NBA kitten mittens out there?
Kitten mittens, yeah, that whole episode where they brand everything. The everything. NBA shotgun that blasts the shot into your mouth.
Love
the,
it.
The NBA thong, the whole thing.
I want to buy an actual Pelican that has the Pelicans logo on it.
It's all for sale. It's put that NBA logo on anything and everything to make up some of this shortfall.
So the NBA is going full Snoop Dogg, where you just endorse whatever someone wants you to endorse if they pay you some money, basically. I was curious about some weird endorsement deals, and I Googled weirdest endorsement deals of all time. Snoop Dogg comes up on most of them.
Oh.
the weirdest one I found was Cristiano Ronaldo on this thing you chew that has little flappy things to like strengthen your jaw muscles. It's called like a power bow. I don't know. Let's have NBA versions of those.
Is that to get like the square jawline?
Yeah, you like chew it and it makes the little like, it's like antenna coming out the side and they flap up and down. I guess when they're moving like that, it like work. I have no idea, man. I don't get it at all, but we should have an NBA one of those.
Sure.
The Knicks,
why not?
Need something, you know, like let's give them some stuff.
I want the Adam Silver Corona commercial with Bad Bunny. That's like Adam Silver walking down, answering his shell phone, you know, having that interaction. Anything that's awkward, anything that makes us even more awkward, I'm
NBA
all for.
Twitter's already fun. So when we get some weird product endorsements, like I can't wait for us all to just have fun on there and laugh about all of this. We also need it in times like this. So it's like, let's just get super weird NBA. You get your money back. The players probably find new endorsement deals too through this, and they get some more money. Everyone wins.
Yeah. You know, you can throw NBA logos into popular video games. Like, why not in Call of Duty have one of the fighting arenas be an abandoned NBA arena? Like, why not go fight through the Toyota Center on a level? I don't even play that game anymore. But
I was gonna say, you come off like you don't play video games at all, but
not at all. I stopped playing video games a long time ago. But that's
No, I dig it. Like a Celtics branded Mario Kart that you pay extra money for in the game.
Totally.
And then you can have like Mario drive the Celtics cart. I guess Luigi drive the Celtics cart or something like that. Like, yes, that's perfect. That makes a ton of sense. The other part of this that the liquor part is going to be hilarious. Like, I cannot wait for the NBA Bud Light, like a hard seltzer crossover that we didn't know we needed, like in our, like what flavor would the Celtics hard seltzer be?
Probably something obvious like lime or
something green
because no one knows anything about how to market Boston other than to make it like super Irish or something green. That's the only, like you can't market Boston in any other way. So like, just like that guy, the your cousin from Boston thing, it's the same accent. It's the same everything. Like, come on, get creative, people.
Look, you got a chance to. The other side of this is the sports betting, which I think is like, if we're not just joking about stupid products, the actual like real interesting thing of this, if the NBA is worried about ratings, people not watching games, and there's a, you know, there's the natural dip from coronavirus, but there's been a dip every single year, and it's been a somewhat steady decline as we try and figure out how people consume games now. If I have money on a game, you think I'm missing a freaking second? Oh,
that's
of that?
Coming. And that's always been coming. That's why you see those, on the app, like, hey, who do you think's going to win the fourth quarter? Or, you know, download this app. Like, that's all laying the groundwork to start the sports betting. And not just sports betting, betting from your seat in the arena.
But it's brilliant. If you want eyes on the court, which is what they're trying to do, right? Say I miss the first half of a game and I can pull up the NBA app on my phone and I can get the second half line. You think I'm not going to tune in for the second half if I got money on it?
Totally.
Sure as hell I am. And all of a sudden, ratings go up a little bit from that. It's not just revenue coming in off of the like bets being placed. It's also, I think, it ties into the ratings of people watching and that increases revenue.
Yep. I mean, that's, think about a lot of what fuels the NFL. I think they're looking to the NFL for a lot of their cues, and fantasy is obviously a huge thing with the NFL, but sports betting is a huge thing for the NFL too, because you can run these pools. You can run, those run very easily. And the NFL has its own certain advantages being one day a week and that you can own Sunday for the most part. Obviously there's Monday and Thursday, but like you can own that one day. And I think that gives them an advantage, but the NBA can certainly have some similarity in how they try to approach their nightly games or their big national games, you know,
yeah.
A Tuesday night, a Thursday night, you know, Friday night ESPN. They can really use the sports betting to advance that. Now, I'm sure there are people who are listening who question the morality of that, but that cat's been out of the bag. And this is where this country is, that this is allowed now. And this is something that a fair amount of people are into. And the NBA is not going to sit there and look at millions, tens of millions, hundreds of millions.
Yeah, a lot of money. No, not at all. And I wouldn't be shocked if you also see them, as this is kind of mentioned in the report, of branding certain casinos. So in certain cities where there is a casino, maybe it gets branded with a team name on there or an official partnership or something like that. So there's a lot of money at stake. And as you mentioned, there is a morality degree to this, I think. But the league's hand is kind of forced with what has happened with the pandemic and with last season and with the impact it's going to have on the coming season. Like, there's no going back from this.
And this is how a lot of these things happen. You know, a lot of change can be forced onto an entity based on an outside event. And you're forced to evolve based on like what this pandemic. And suddenly this question of, do we have, maybe we don't want to do this. Now it's like, we kind of don't have a choice. It's more like, how do we do this rather than whether we want to do this?
I will be the first person to bet online. I can't wait where it's like the second free throw to win or tie the game. And you can bet on it in between free throw attempts, and like living and dying in that moment is going to be actually kind of exhilarating sounding.
I would not be surprised if somewhere down the road, you're going to hear during a game broadcast alerts on phones going off in unison where somebody misses the free throw and all of a sudden phone alerts start going off. And so many of them go off together that you hear them in the background and people are betting on that next free throw, and that it gets referenced in the game. That's probably like 3-4 years down the road.
Oh, it's tough. I mean, they talk about the spread in NFL and college games at times now. So like on the broadcast, you're going to see that coming very soon. It's just, you can't avoid it anymore. And when ESPN leans hard into that too, like it's going to kind of direct everything. So you're going to see all of this coming in. I, for one, can't wait to buy probably can buy a Pelicans branded car soon, I guess, maybe.
Why not? What would that be?
Yeah, I have no idea, but yeah, I can't wait. I know. Okay, there we go. So moving on to new, I was like, I'm a car guy. I was like, what would a Pelicans car? Nah, we're good. Moving on, we're in the next segment. We're going to get into new ideas too. The play-in tournament, a little bit different than what we saw in the bubble. We'll explain it. I'll explain why I love it. I know John loves it too. This is a great idea for the league. So that is coming up here in just a second. Don't forget, subscribe to Locked On NBA wherever you get your podcasts here Monday through Friday for y'all. If you listen to one show a week, try listening to two. Make sure you're just caught up on everything going on around the league, around the association. There's a lot coming. So make sure you're caught up to it by subscribing to Locked On NBA wherever you get your podcasts. All right, with the sense of next season coming either in December or January, one of the things that it sounds like is going to be a constant thing here is a bit of a play-in tournament. Not a play-in series like what we saw before in the bubble, but a play-in tournament between the 7 through 10 seeds in each conference. Don't forget, subscribe to Locked On NBA wherever you get your podcasts here Monday through Friday for y'all. If you listen to one show a week, try listening to two. Make sure you're just caught up on everything going on around the league, around the association. There's a lot coming, so make sure you're caught up to it by subscribing to Locked On NBA wherever you get your podcasts. All right, with the sense of next season coming either in December or January, one of the things that it sounds like is going to be a constant thing here is a bit of a play-in tournament, not a play-in series like what we saw before in the bubble, but a play-in tournament between the 7 through 10 seeds in each conference. This is a great idea, and it kind of works as this. The 7 and 8 seed play each other first for the right, and the winner of that gets the 7th seed. Then the 9th and 10th seeds play, and the winner of that plays the loser of the 7-8 game for the right for the 8th seed. And basically, I think it's then the 9 or 10 seed needs to win twice or once. Let me see here. I'm going to edit that part because I missed it.
Okay.
Hold on. What was it?
7th and 8th seed play each other. Winner gets the 7th seed. 9 and 10 play each other. The winner plays the loser of the first game, and that winner gets the 8th seed.
Okay,
7 and 8 play, 9 and 10 play. Winner of 9 and 10 plays loser of 7-8.
Okay, let me describe this again. So the way the tournament's going to work is the 7th and 8th seed play each other, with the 7th seed hosting the 8th seed, and the winner of that locks into the 7th spot. The 9 seed faces the 10th seed, and then the winner of that one will play the loser of the 7 versus 8 matchup, and then whoever wins that game is going to get the number 8 seed. So this basically creates more play-in opportunities for two other teams in the league and is a great way to some degree to disincentivize tanking. I also think, so I love this idea, because anything that disincentivizes tanking is great. But also, this kind of takes out some of the way injuries, I think, can ruin a season for you. If you had a guy miss 2-3 weeks and you drop to the 9 or the 10th seed and then they come back healthy, at least you have a chance. Whereas before, you didn't. Thoughts?
Well, I think that from a fan standpoint, that's great. It adds a level of drama. It's kind of like adding that second wild card in baseball where all of a sudden fans of a team that were done suddenly say, hey, we're a playoff team. And for a lot of these teams at the bottom of the standings, that matters to say, hey, we're a playoff team. You get another game. Under normal circumstances, you play 82, you get another home game. Hey, that extra gate from one more game is important for those teams. Because typically those teams at the bottom are the smaller market teams, just generally speaking.
Yeah, no, that's fair.
So I think that's a good compromise. I think it's a good way, not even compromise. It's a good way to kind of get that interest. It doesn't take away from the advantage that the 1 seed or the 2 seed has, because they're getting a couple extra days off. Being the 7th or 8th seed, you're not supposed to have, you know, you're supposed to be a little disadvantaged anyway. So playing those extra games, just kind of how it is. So I think in general, and then this is another tournament that can be branded. You know, this is
That's a good call.
You know, the whatever play-in
tournament.
Brought
to you by, yeah.
Yeah. And there's a whole other set of sponsorships that you can attach to something like this, which is another big reason why they've wanted to do a play-in tournament and a mid-season tournament. So that's anything else that you can do like this that's separate can have a separate branding, which brings in even more money, tying it back into our last segment.
Yeah, that's a really good point, and I like it even more from that. I think something that does need to go hand in hand with this, and that's something the NBA really needs to look at doing just going forward as a new thing forever, is locking in the lottery standings after maybe three quarters or two thirds of the season. And that's what the lottery standings are going to be, kind of similar to what they did with the restart this past season with the bubble, that those bubble games did not matter. If you lost games, you could not improve your lottery chances. And if you lock in that, say after 66% or 75% of that, it just encourages teams at that point to kind of go after that 9 or 10 seed when maybe they weren't able to do that before, because you kind of then get to double dip. You have a chance to get into the playoffs and you have your decent lottery odds. And then the teams that were really, really bad are just still going to be really, really bad. And that way you won't see it where maybe a team could fight for 10 and they just don't really care, and kind of just start losing games on purpose then. And I think it just is a way to keep fans more engaged with their teams when there's something to play for, because having gone through this at times, that end of season becomes a slog when there is nothing left to play for. And it does get tiring rooting for losses. And then this kind of eliminates some of that.
It does. I mean, I think there's a little, I think people go a little too overboard with the tanking stuff.
To some degree, I think.
Yeah. I mean, it's going to happen. I think if there was no Philly process, then maybe it wouldn't be as big a concern. Teams are going to be bad. And the teams that are bad are going to stay bad. And, you can still tank. Rebuilding, I think people call it tanking too often also, because a lot of this is rebuilding.
Well, a lot of it is also just playing young guys and getting them experience. And because they're young and not as good, they're going to lose games, right? And that's not like necessarily tanking.
And going back to my NFL example from earlier, the NFL generally has like a couple of bad teams, but there are a lot of teams that are in there that have a chance. And that's part of why the NFL is so popular as well. There's a lot of parity. Playing as many games as the NBA does, the parity to some degree does go out the window, that some teams, they feel like it's still better off. If you're in the 11th seed in this scenario and you want to get into the 10th seed, do you want to get into the 10th seed? Like, I don't know
if you're the 11th seed and you are locked in, say, at the 11. So if you lose more games, it doesn't matter. You can't get, you can't drop to 13, you know, 12, 13, 14.
So this at is that under point, your,
you, yeah, this is my idea of locking the standings at a certain point. If you're the 11 seed at that point, go and try and win games, right? And get the 10 seed and have a chance to get into the playoffs. And it keeps your fan base engaged. Otherwise, ratings dip, attendance dips when you're kind of at that point, and this at least keeps people more engaged.
I still don't think that smaller market teams are going to want to go for that, because again, unlike the NFL, the NBA is only two rounds in their draft. The NFL is what, 7-8 rounds or something like that. You can find talent in the middle rounds.
Oh yeah.
So there's a lot of talent out there to be had. In the NBA, the difference between the third or the fourth pick, like look at this year's draft.
Oh no, I fully agree.
Yeah, so I think that for teams, I don't think the Celtics or Lakers or Knicks are going to care necessarily, but for teams that only can build through the draft, that are relying on the strategy of draft well, hope it works out, hope that you're good enough to swing a trade, and if that doesn't work, you've got to tear it down. There are very few rebuilds on the fly. What Sam Presti is doing in OKC is rare. Most of the time, it's a very big variance between get good.
Yes.
Did it work? Tear it down. And you got to tear it right down to the studs again. And if you're getting the eighth seed, if you're getting the eighth pick versus ultimately the sixth pick, because you're just in a teardown mode and you're not tanking, you've just got a lot of young players and you're a bad team. That loss of a couple of draft picks can ultimately be costly for smaller market teams. I don't know that they're going to be fully on board with something like this.
It's just an idea I had that I think helps, but regardless of that part of it, playing tournament's going to be fun.
Fun.
Like the 10 seed that eventually gets in and then somehow upsets the one seed is going to be a fantastic like piece of NBA history.
Yeah. You know what else is going to be fun? What I think the NBA should do this year, Elam ending the whole way through. Whole way through, at the very least for this little play-in tournament, but I think the whole way through, eliminate overtimes this year. You're trying to lessen travel. You're trying to do things that are creative. Put that Elam ending in there and get these games done with in a reasonable amount of time. No weird triple overtime things. Even though those can be exciting, I think if we're looking for ideas to make this season exciting, different, and accomplish a goal, Elam ending. I'm very pro Elam ending. I think that should be ultimately how games end.
Disagree with that. It was fun. It seemed to kind of work. It works in the basketball tournament, certainly incredibly well. I got nothing to say against that. I think the NBA has a season to get weird with it, and they can kind of get away with being weird with it because of the pandemic and everything. Like, if you just kind of want to throw stuff at the wall and see what works, like, no one's going to fault you if something doesn't, given the circumstances. So this is like the league's chance to do all of that.
Yeah. I mean, look, again, back to my point before. When your back's up against the wall, you have to make these changes. And this is the time to get creative. You never know. If it doesn't work, next season things go back to normal.
Change it back.
It's fine. You change it back.
It doesn't matter.
This is a weird season. Get weird with it, man.
I fully agree. And I hope we get a weird NBA season because that would be fun. That's as good of a place to stop as ever. just let's get a weird NBA season. I am all for it. It should be a lot of fun. So that's going to do it for the Wednesday edition of Locked On NBA. Thank you all for listening. Thank you to Built Bar for sponsoring today's show. Built Bar, best tasting protein bar ever. Go to builtbar.com. Use promo code Locked On for 20% off your next order. On Wednesdays, I'm your co-host Jake Madison at Nola Jake on Twitter and the host of the Locked On Pelicans podcast.
And I'm John Corrales. I am Reds_Army_John on Twitter. And I host the Locked On Celtics podcast.
Thank you all for listening. We'll be back with you all next week.